God's silent footprints. Our God hides himself. Did you know that? Doesn't he? He hides himself. So let's say a couple words, two Hebrew words, satar, and then let's say hafach. All right. Our God who hides and who helps. Father, we just thank you. Open our eyes to feel wonderful things from your word. We pray, speak to us through your word, Lord. Continue to through this celebration today, through this time today, together. We bless you. We thank you. In your name. Amen. So I got to start with this. My best chance to use it. I've used it on this day before. You recall the story of King Ahasuerus and his wife Vashti at the banquet. And I think it was the seventh day she wouldn't come. Remember? Right? In the story, that story, she wouldn't come. And perhaps it could have been prevented if they'd followed the advice of comedian Henny Youngman. And this is what Henny Youngman, his advice. He said, "Some people ask the secret of our long marriage." He was married 59 years to Sadie, his wife. He said, "We take time to go to a restaurant twice a week. A little candlelight, a nice dinner, some soft music and dancing. She goes Tuesdays, I go Fridays." Just love that one. Everything is about my relationship with God, with the invisible God, and he's the God who hides himself. I talk to him about everything, hand over everything to him. And when I say I mean each one of them, speaking for each one of us, everything's about my relationship with God, your relationship with God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In how many of our ways? Thank you. Great. In all your ways, it's really yada. Know him. Acknowledge him. Know him. And he will make your paths yashar, straight. Don't be anxious about anything. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about anything. But in how many things? Everything. By prayer and petition and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace, the shalom of God, Erini in the Greek it would be, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, mount a military guard around your minds and your emotions, your mind and your heart in Messiah Yeshua. Everything God does is ultimately purpose that we might know him for all humanity. That's what it's all about. It's really simple. God wants everyone to know him. And that's really interesting because the Megillah of Esther, and she's supposed to be the author of the book, actually, of the story of the book. It's unique to the books of the Bible. Why? What's one thing that's very unique about the book? Yeah, God's name is not even mentioned once in this book. And yet, there's so many miracles. We see the hand of God working. And they're not referred to as miracles, but God is hiding. God is hiding. And so maybe we'll just call them for today, God's silent footprints. Let me give a little background on the book, which I've given before. But I think it's helpful for all of us. The events in this scroll, the Megillah of Esther, occur historically between 400 and 300 BC or BCE, toward the end of the Persian period, some 2,400, 2,500 years ago. Israel's in the diaspora, not in her homeland. We were in scattered mode, just like many of us are today. The Persian Empire of the 4th century BCE extended over 127 lands, and Jews were in all or most of them. 60 Persian words occur in this scroll that you saw held up in the book of Esther. And this is the source for our holiday in the story of Purim. Purim or Purim means lots. In the ancient Persian, recalling how Haman drew lots to determine when he would carry out his plot to annihilate all Jews, young and old, infants and women, in a single day. It's written chapter 3, verse 13. But as we know, his plan ultimately completely backfired. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 5, God causes things to backfire, turns the curse to a blessing. The entire story covers an interesting period of time. Who knows how long a span of time? 9 years. So you're reading the book, you wonder, how long is this whole thing? It's a 9-year span of time. The Dead Sea community does not seem to have observed Purim. It's the only biblical book of which no remnant has been found at Qumran. It's not one of the Moedim or of Leviticus 23, but it clearly testifies to God's covenant faithfulness to Israel and to his reaching the nations through her. Beautiful verse 8:17 of Esther, where the nations are actually reached through the Jewish people. Though God's name is, and even the word God, are not mentioned in the entire scroll, he most certainly is prevalent in acting on behalf of his people behind the scenes, hiding, if you will, but visible to the one who has eyes to see. He's totally in charge, and he's always, always on time. On his time, not our time. And so I like to call it HST, Heavenly Standard Time. Esther's name, though really her Hebrew name is Hadassah, so it's really thought to be Persian, her name, but in Hebrew, it does mean God is hiding. Isaiah 45:15, truly you are a God who hides himself. Achen ata el mistater, Elohei Yisrael Moshiach, a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, Savior. Satar, let's try that, Satar. Satar, the Hebrew word, means to conceal from view, to protect, or hidden. Esther, so is thought to mean hidden, Satar, plus the Aleph, with the Aleph, the numerical value of one, representing God, or first in Gematria. God hides himself. Now, he keeps working out, Ephesians tells us in the New Covenant, all things according to his purpose, the purpose of his will, Ephesians 1:11. And that means he's concentrating energy to a goal, towards a goal. God is working his will out all the time behind the scenes, even though we don't realize it. He knew way in advance that we would need Esther in the position that he put her. He's composing, orchestrating a fantastic symphony. Here's a question I would ask us today. Who am I called to be at this time, at this hour? Am I called to be an Esther? Am I called to be a Mordechai? Or maybe even King Ahasuerus? Who am I called to be? And if not today, maybe the hour is tomorrow. Who am I called to be? Who are you called to be? Esther must exercise great courage and great wisdom. Mordechai is behind Esther, not in the limelight. People don't see her. I see him as much, not initially, not for a while, but he's there. King Ahasuerus, he has power, he has leverage. Each are equally important, equally important. Where am I called to be of influence and exercise that influence? You're called to exercise it somewhere. Not everybody is an Esther, and not everybody is a Mordechai, and nor an Ahasuerus. You may not be called to be the one who is in the key role, but you may be called to be the one to help another who is into that role. And that's great. That's okay. And I have to be content with that and grateful for that. I also want to say about this, our help is not in government. Our help is not in the next president. or in the next prime minister, whether it's the prime minister of Israel or the next president of the United States. Our help is not in who's elected next. That's not who our help is in. And if you're looking to that, you're going to be disappointed. You're mistaken. I'm mistaken. Israel's help is in the Lord. And if we depend upon man, we will perish. We will perish. Had the Lord not been on our side, let Israel now say. Had the Lord not been on our side when men rose up against us, then we would have swallowed up, they would have swallowed us up alive. Their wrath burned against us in Psalm 124, and the waters would have engulfed us. And the torrent, and I read this earlier, would have been swept over our soul, and the raging waters swept over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who's not given us his prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trappers. The snare is broken and we escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121, verse 2. Thus says the Lord. Thus says Adonai, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17. Cursed is the one who trusts in man and depends on flesh as his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord, turns from the Lord. To the degree that I'm trusting in humanity, trusting in people, in humanity, my heart is turning from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, a shrub in the wilderness. He can't see good when it comes, but he'll be dwell in parched places in the desert, a salt land where nothing lives. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in the Lord, in Adonai. For he will be like a tree planted by the waters, spreading out its roots by a stream. He will not fear, could read, he'll not fear, or he'll not even see the heat when it comes. But its leaves will remain green. Does not worry, does not anxious in the year of drought, nor depart from yielding fruit. What's my trust in? And as we are in an election year here, and oh, God forbid, we push Israel from our country to when they should have their next election. It's not our business. But our hope is not in man. It's not in government. It's in the Lord. How quickly things can change from being an orphan to becoming a queen. Esther was an orphan. From about ready to hang our nemesis to being hung on your own gallows. That's what happened to Haman. Ooh. From being powerless as a people to being empowered. Suddenly, providential reversals. Providential reversals. God suddenly reverses. An old Yiddish proverb, you've heard it spoken different ways a lot, but it's such a great one. If you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plans. I think two passages of scripture especially summarize Purim and the story of the book of Esther. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans, the thoughts, of a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose, that will prevail, will rise up, meaning eventually surface and prevail. Many ideas coming together in a person's heart, the Hebrew reads really, but the Lord's goal and purpose, what he intends to take place, is what will transpire and surface. And the second passage, Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For the one who sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, in due season, we will reap if we don't quit, if we don't faint, if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have as much as we have opportunity, let us do good toward all, especially, he says, to those who belong to the household of faith. Ultimately, God reversed everything around. We read in chapter 9 of Esther, verses 1 and 21, he changed the word hafach. Let's say hafach. Hafach. It means he changed. It's used several times. It means to overturn. He caused all the evil plans against the Jews to backfire. The royal robe and the horse and the public parade Haman asked for, thinking to honor himself. Who did it go to? Mordecai came on Mordecai. The gallows he prepared for Mordecai, he was hung on himself. Chapter 5, verse 14 and 7, 9 and 10. The day that the Jews were to be massacred, 13th of Adar, became their day of celebration and their enemies' destruction. Chapter 9. And the enemies of the Jews, it says in Esther 9, verse 1, the enemies of the Jews had expected to overpower them. But to the contrary, let's say hafach, to the contrary, hafach. That's the word. The Jews overpowered those who hated them. Complete Jewish Bible, the late David Stern, who's with the Lord now, with you, Lord, right now. Maybe watching, who knows, maybe get a little glimpse today. But as it turned out, the opposite took place. I like that translation. Good translation, Rabbi David, Dr. David. It turned out the opposite took place. The enemy thought that he was in control, but really it was a mirage, an illusion. God was in control all along. And now that may seem what it feels like for you in your life and something happening in your life. But now all of a sudden God turns it around and you're in control because he decided it was time to give it to you. When he decides it, boom. But it's his time. When he wants it, God overturns, he reverses. In modern Hebrew, hafach, it means to turn upside down. Deuteronomy 23:6, the Lord your God refused to listen to Balaam, and the Adonai your God turned, hafach, the curse into a blessing for you because he loves you. Their sorrow in Esther 9:22, their sorrow was turned, hafach, let's say it. Hafach was turned into joy. But as it turned out, hafach, the opposite took place. Complete Jewish Bible. Esther 9:1. But how did it happen? God did it, but also they prayed. They risked and they sacrificed. It worked together. We are co-laborers with God. We are workers together. I think it's 1 Corinthians 3:9, 2 Corinthians 6:2. We're laborers together. We work with him. We are his hands and feet. Esther pleads in identification with her people seven times, I count. Seven times she says, my people. In chapter 7, chapter 8, I have all the verses, 8 and 9. She says, the Jews, speaking of her people. She pleads, identifying with them for them. So may I say this, you and I am not an isolated solo act. I'm joined to a people with a purpose, a community. We're a community, a kahila, community. So let us do good toward all, especially those, Paul says, who belong to the household of faith. Galatians 6:10, we heard before. How many here today, I won't ask for a show of hands, but there's a lot, I know. How many here are of Jewish lineage? You're Jewish. You have Jewish background. Or maybe one parent, maybe one grandparent, or maybe both parents. How many? We would not be here if it was not for insolent Mordecai, wouldn't bow to Haman. We wouldn't be here if not for insolent Mordecai and insistent Esther. She insisted, and she was very creative, by the way. She didn't tell him why he was coming to the feast. She used sechel. She was clever. She used God's, sometimes has us be wise as serpents, what? Harmless as dove, innocent as dove, harmless as doves, right? Be wise. Don't spill your beans all at once. She had wisdom from God. And if we wouldn't be here if not for them. And if the Jewish people If we Jews were destroyed, guess what? All of us here, no matter what our background, we wouldn't have a savior. You realize that? We wouldn't have a savior. You wouldn't have your savior because he would never have been born. Jewish people would have been abolished. God's promises would not have been able to be kept, but they are. They're always kept. His covenant promises are always kept. The diligence of macho Mordecai and the courage of astute Esther, and most of all, the providential, powerful hand of God reversing the course of events. And so I close in reading these verses from Esther chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 and 22. The time approached for the king's decree to be carried out, the day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to overpower them. But as it turned out, the opposite took place. The Jews overpowered those who hated them. Thus, on the 13th day of the 12th month of Adar, the Jews assembled in their cities throughout all the provinces to attack anyone who tried to do them harm, and no one was able to withstand them because all the people were afraid of them. The days on which the Jews obtained to rest from their enemies, and the month which for them was turned, let's say hafach, turn, hafach, it's used twice here, from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, and they were to make them days of celebrating and rejoicing, sending portions to each other, one of the mitzvot of Purim, and giving gifts to the poor. Yeshua said this in John 16:20. He said, amen, amen. You can count on it. Amen, amen. I tell you, your sorrow will turn to joy. And Lord, we pray that for our people, for Israel, for in every situation, we pray that for everyone here in any difficulty they're facing, any battle they're facing. Lord, we pray, turn it to joy, the sorrow to joy. Turn things around. You are the God who has all power. You are the hidden one who hides, Lord. You are faithful. We thank you. You are the one. Bring us all closer to you. We thank you that you humble, Lord, where there's pride. Humble the pride, proud, Lord. Humble the proud, Lord. Humble the Hamans. Humble the proud, Lord. And exalt the humble. Lord, those that depend on you, Lord. Thank you. Remind us, Lord, never to put our trust in flesh, in the arm of flesh, but only in you. And help us to know our place, Lord, our calling. When we're called in what hour to be an Esther, a Mordechai behind an Esther, or an Ahasuerus who has some leverage to make some things happen when their time comes. We thank you, Lord. We praise you.